Welcome to the Word Alive radio broadcast ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, located in Southeast Columbia at 3100 Trotter Road, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. Now, stay tuned for the Word Alive.
We are to discern the times and seasons. Matter of fact, Jesus, he rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 12 because they could observe the clouds and know when it's going to rain, but they couldn't observe the times and the seasons. So what is it that Jesus is saying when we should be able to discern the times and seasons? What Jesus is teaching is that we should be able to see and discern the spiritual and moral condition of the world in which we live in. Every one of us as believers, we should be able to say, based on what I'm discerning, this is what is happening in our world today. Not just because of what you hear on the news. It's much deeper than that. So he said we should be able to discern the spiritual condition and the moral state of the world in which we live in. Paul in Ephesians 5, he said it's something like this. Paul said, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Notice, redeeming the time. That word redeeming the time means taking advantage of every opportunity to reveal God's purpose within the culture. Redeeming the time because the days are what? Because the days are evil. Discern what is the spiritual and moral state of the world in which we live in. He went on to say, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We discern the times in the season, that is the spiritual and moral state of the world in which we live, and now we got to be wise so that we can respond in such a way that the will of God can take place. Now, here's the question. How are we able to do this? We are able to do this by unlocking the power of heaven. Listen now, we're not going to do this because we reached to the arm of flesh and we went out there and said we're going to fight against this and we're going to protest against this and all that kind of stuff. But as the church, we have to unlock the power of heaven. And so what I want to talk about is power in prayer. When I make the statement, the power of prayer, it becomes a statement relative to prayer, the power of prayer. People say, I believe in the what? The power of prayer. It's almost like I can stand back and say that I believe in the power of prayer. But when I say the power in prayer, it is no longer a statement, but a strategy that I am living out, engaging in the process whereby I am joining in with God so that his purposes and plans can be manifested in a world that is spiritually and morally off compass. What does this look like? First of all, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is a global prayer. This is a prayer for nations to change. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land, I will heal their nations. Notice, he begins change in the world by calling his people to accountability. He begins change in the condition of the world by summoning the kingdom people and telling them that if you all would get your act together and begin to pray and begin to seek me, I will not only bring change in your life, but I will bring change around your life. Power in prayer. Okay, let's leave the national scene. Let's leave the scene of the nation, nations, and let's look at the church. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, when the apostles were being persecuted even to death, and Peter was put on hold that particular day to be killed the next day, the church say, we've got to respond. This is not a time to have a concert. This is not a time to just come out and go. This is a time for us to what? To seek God. And Acts chapter 12, verse 5 reads like this. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly what? Praying to God for him. Look how the church responds when things happen to one of its brothers and sisters. When the attack comes in their lives, the church said, we're going to pray. And how many know, because of the prayers of the church, God sent supernatural power to set Peter free. Angels went to work when the church prayed. Saints, listen, when the church prayed, something happens supernaturally. So we see prayer affects nations, but the church is the one God's using. Prayer affects the believers in that local fellowship, but the church is the one God is using. Now look at an individual case. This is a case here with Peter, Luke chapter 22, the next slide. Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Now get this, praying for a nation, praying for a member of the church. Now Peter gets Jesus to inform him that you're going to be tested by Satan. But I prayed for your faith. Let me say it again. I prayed for your faith, not your feelings, your faith. The prayer statement that Jesus makes here, and when you have turned, notice the word again. In other words, Peter, you're going to fail the test. The temptation is going to overtake you. But just because you failed the test don't mean you're put out of the class. So as a result, he said that when you turn again, strengthen your brother. So what that means? That means that when we begin to pray, even when we went through challenges in our life, that prayer will begin to change our hearts. Peter's heart was changed because of prayer. Peter was more concerned about himself. That was why he denied Jesus. He was more concerned about his image. He was more concerned about his life. And so when they asked him, were you with Jesus? He said, I never knew the man. How many know he failed the test? He lied. He denied Jesus. But how many know Peter repented? Listen. Prayer changes the heart. When you are praying about a matter in your own life, God is changing your heart. That's why the Bible says, in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request in everything. Why? Because God changes you in prayer. If you're struggling with an area in your life and you're praying and you're seeking God for his strength, his help and all this, God's changing you. Yeah. The mere fact you're bringing it to God in prayer. Now, these three biblical cases that I just shared with you is about the power in prayer. When we engage in prayer, when we're actively involved in prayer. Prayer so that what? So that the will of God can come on the scene in the world we live in. Saints, stop talking about how bad things are in the world. That's not prayer. Stop going around, I tell you what, this world is getting worse and worse. The Bible said it would, but that's not prayer. Prayer means that Jesus wants the church to occupy till he comes. Remember the parable of the talents? Remember the parable of the miners? When Jesus told them what? Occupy till I return. Now, Jesus wasn't saying, go and start taking over the world, start, you know, all this stuff. No, what he was saying, take authority and begin to bring my purpose and plans in the midst of a wicked world. No matter how bad the world gets, God's still going to fulfill his purpose and plan. So when we look at the spiritual climate of our world, when we look at the moral climate of our world, when we look at the social climate of our world, the church should be praying. There are three ingredients. I'm only going to give you one today because I don't want to rush this. And I want to give you enough so that you can digest it. I want to look at three ingredients relative to power in prayer. The first one is this, the language of prayer. There is a language of prayer. And that language is faith in the word of God. See, sometimes people think prayer is just talking. I mean, just saying something. No, our prayers need to be strategically directed. We need to be specific. We need to have understanding when we pray. We don't need to get caught up in religious praying. Just throwing up a prayer. Heart ain't in it. Ain't really moved by passion. Just throwing up a prayer. I mean, sometimes people can do things that seem spiritual just to satisfy a religious mindset. But the language of prayer is faith in the word of God. In Romans 10:17, he said this, for faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the word. The word is God. We don't separate it, right? So when I start putting faith in God and I put faith in his word, it's the same. If I'm facing something in my life, I can't see God, but I can see God. Somebody getting this now. If I'm dealing with something in my life, I can't hear God, but I can hear God. In the same confidence that I have that God exists, it's the same confidence that I have in what God has said. That's why the enemy don't want us to pray with that kind of confidence. Why? Because that's what caused our prayers to get results. It's not just because I prayed all night long, but I prayed in the language of prayer with faith in the word of God. That's why a lot of time when people are believing God for something, they got a word on it. Are they going to get a word on it? And they're going to say, well, you know, I read in the word and I just believe what God said. That's the language of prayer. And then you got to know how to persevere in the word. Okay, you get some kind of news and it doesn't line up with what the word say. You persevere in the word. You don't just give away. Well, that's what they say. Oh, no, I got the word of God. It's the commitment of the heart that when I see the word of God, this ain't just any book. This is God speaking. It represents God. Amen. It identifies God. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word through the word of Christ. That's good news. But everybody in church can hear the word and faith don't come. Say it again. Everybody in church can hear the word, but faith don't necessarily come because Hebrews 4:2 proves that. For the Bible says, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. In other words, when God spoke to Israel, he was speaking through Moses. When he gave them the Ten Commandments, he gave them the word. He spoke through the prophets. He gave them his word. They were just mouthpieces of God, instruments that God was speaking through. But the Bible says, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. See, you can hear the word and don't combine it with faith. And therefore, it has no value to you. It's the word. I heard it. But if I don't combine it and mix it with my confidence and faith in it, it won't work for me. Saints, God don't want us to just come to church talking about we got the word. God has blessed you to be in a place where you can hear the word. Because he's doing something in your life. And he knows the only way that you're going to be able to live victoriously is you got to first hear the word, but then he wants you to bring faith to the table. I want us to look at an example in Mark chapter 5. Just turn your Bibles there. A parallel account there is also Luke, but Mark is a little more detailed. Luke 8, 42 and 48 gives this account. But in Mark 5, 24 through 34, I want you to see what this looked like as it is walked out in the life of this woman who the name is unknown and in the life of this ruler, Jairus. I want us to see this because we heard the language of prayer is faith in the word. Now we get to see a woman who say, listen to my story or my testimony. It works. Hallelujah. That's what she's telling the church. It works. The language of prayer works. So there's some things we can look at in her life and bring out. The first thing is this. She had a health issue that was beyond human or natural means of correcting, and it continually got worse. There was no physician that could give her relief. There was no medicine in the culture that could give her release. She tried it all. She spent all her money seeing all of these doctors trying to get well. She wasn't sitting back doing nothing. In her pain, she was trying to get better. But the Bible says the more she went to those physicians, she got worse. Anybody ever went to the doctor and came back feeling worse than what you went? She kept going to this one and she got worse. She kept going to the other one and she got worse. Another thing about this woman is this. Not only did she have a major health issue, but she had a social issue because of her health issue. In other words, her health issue placed certain restrictions on her normal functioning in life. See, she has to respect the law of the land. And according to Leviticus 15, The Bible said that this woman's condition required her to be quarantined. She could not come into the temple. Also, she was not allowed to make contact with other people. So it's obvious she didn't have no friends. She was isolated. She was a social outcast. In all this pain, in all this suffering, no support system. I want us to see how deep the suffering is. She has suffered 12 years with this condition. And in that 12 years, continually trying to get healed. Once she heard about Jesus, oh my God. Once she heard about the Logos, she heard about the Word, she put action to her faith. Notice the Bible say in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, faith come by hearing and hearing the Word of God. When she heard about the Word, I want you not to separate Jesus and the Word. So when she heard about the Word, when she heard about that teaching over at your church, when she heard that at your church they lay hands on the sick, she heard about all those doctors. They took all her money and she didn't get better. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched. Wait a minute. She came behind him and you don't belong in the crowd. You got a condition where you have been isolated from people. But yet when you heard about the Word, you didn't let nothing stop you. You didn't care about what people said. You didn't care about who got mad at you. You heard about the Word. And you were not going to let anybody or anything keep you from making contact with the Word. We think her faith was only when she touched Jesus. Her faith started working when she heard. We think her faith went to work when she grabbed. No, her faith started working when she heard the Word. And when you hear the Word, glory to God, your faith starts acting up. Yeah, your faith going to start acting up. Somebody say, you must be a no, my faith acting up now. When you hear the Word, your faith start acting up. That whatever you're going with, your faith start acting up. Whatever feelings you're dealing with, your faith start acting up. Because you're hearing the Word. You're not hearing condemnation. You're not hearing guilt. You're not hearing shame. You're hearing the Word. So her faith start acting up. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood. Now, saints, this woman been losing a lot of blood. We know she had other complications as a result of that, right? Probably anemic, you know, low blood, no energy, all kinds of things. Embarrassment, going out in the public, having to keep change in her clothes because of this continual flow of blood. The fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body. In other words, she sensed a touch of the anointing. She knew something happened. When she heard the Word, she knew something happened. Yes, yes. She knew that something was taking place in her body. And that was the anointing of Jesus. That wasn't medicine from man. That wasn't side effect from some medicine she was taking. That was the anointing of her faith. Because when you release your faith, the anointing is activated. And she sits within her body. There's something going on in my body. For 12 years, she's been trying to get man to cause a change in her life. And when she heard about the Word, her whole life made a change. So she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. No doctor has confirmed it, but she felt some. She sensed some in her body. And Jesus immediately knowing, now get this, not only did she sense something, the Word sensed something. Now you got to remember, this is a crowd. This is just not a crowd. This everybody all up on everybody. Jesus got people all up on him. The disciples all up on him. They are all in the crowd. Everybody touching him. But only that woman touched with a purpose. Only that woman had an intentional touch. Only that woman had a strategy in her prayer. Because when she touched him, she wasn't just touching him because everybody else touching him. She was touching him because she knew he had the answer to her problem. And out of everybody touching Jesus, he stops and say, who touched me? Power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? Now the disciples' common sense come to the surface. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you. In other words, everybody's touching you. People all over just touching you. And you say, who touched me? And I'm there saying, Master, that don't make no sense. It don't add up. How you going to act something like that? You got all these people touching you, hands all over you. And you're going to stand there and say, who touched me? He touched you. She touched you. I'm touching you now. Peter's touching you. John's touching you. Now, that was a different touch she had. She had a touch of faith. Her touch had intention behind it. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. You know what happened? She gave witness to her experience. Jesus, for whatever reason, he didn't just want her to walk away and not give an opportunity to testify to somebody how good God is. And I think more than anything, Jesus wanted everybody else to see, you all are just putting your hands on me, but you're not putting your hands of faith on me. You all are reaching out to me, but you're not reaching out in faith. You all are getting close to me, but you're not in faith. This woman is a great example that you don't just touch me, you touch me with your faith. So she gave witness to her experience. She fell down before him, told him what? The whole truth. I believe she told the whole story. For 12 years, this is what's been going on with my life. This is what I've been dealing with emotionally. I've been isolated. My families have rejected me and all of this. She told the whole truth. Now look at verse 34. And he said to her, daughter. Now see, that's what we got to grab here. Jesus knew that I don't want to just touch your body. I want to touch your soul. I don't want you to just get physical healing. I want you to get spiritually healed. I want you to come out of darkness into light. I believe salvation came to this woman. I believe somewhere through the, because the Bible says she told the whole truth. So we don't get all the details of what kind of dialogue went on. But at the end of the day, this woman crossed over. Hallelujah. She crossed over. Not only did she get physical healing, but she got spiritual healing, which is the greatest healing you can experience. So Jesus don't call her woman. Jesus say, daughter. That means you're in covenant with me. That means you're part of my family now. And he said, your faith made you well. Get this. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Go in peace and live a whole life. So Jesus lets her know that I'm confirming your faith. And your faith have made the difference. Now, so we see what? She understood the language of prayer. Faith in the word, right? Now, in Mark chapter 5, before this woman interrupted the scene, Jairus had already asked Jesus to come and heal his daughter. But this woman cut in on him. So let's go back to Mark chapter 5 and for a few minutes look at verse 21 to see how she cut in on Jairus. And the Bible said, and when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat on the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and did what? And thronged him. Now Jairus got Jesus going with him. Why? He got a 12-year-old daughter at home sick, almost about to die. Now this is what you got to grab here. He approached his problem with humility and confidence in Jesus' ability. You got to know who Jairus is. Jairus is part of the crowd who don't like Jesus. Jairus is a ruler in the synagogue. And this is the crowd who don't like Jesus. But when it comes to your children, how many know you lay your pride to the side? I say when it comes to your children, you humble yourself. So Jairus is probably saying, I don't care what y'all think about this man. And I don't care what I thought about him. I'm changing my attitude right now. Why? My baby at home about to die. And I seen what this man did with other people. He approached his problem in humility. Listen. Humility always gets God's attention. So he gets Jesus to come with him. He's walking with Jesus, right? This woman interrupts. Now come down to verse 35, because the Bible going to pick him up again after he helps this woman. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is what? Dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Wait. You mean my daughter is dead? If this woman had interrupted, perhaps he would have got there in time. You see where the natural mind can go? When you start letting your emotions rule, he could have gotten upset because this woman hindered Jesus from making it in time, because when he asked Jesus to come heal her, she was just sick. But in the midst of time, she died. 12-year-old dead. He stayed close to Jesus throughout the process, which allowed him to remain in faith. He could have went one of two ways. He could have got upset at the woman, or he could have let that woman's testimony keep him in faith while he was heading home. He could have saw what Jesus had just done because of the faith of that woman, and he could have said, my God, she got her miracle. I know I'm going to get mine. So he stayed close to Jesus, because if you look at the next verse, the Bible says, and as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, what? Do not be afraid, only believe. Know what he said? Jairus, don't let the enemy in. Don't let fear in. You got bad news, but you've been walking with me too close to give up now. Saints, when you've been walking with God, you've been too close to give up now. Jairus been walking and walking and waiting and waiting. And all of a sudden, when he get the news, let the master alone. She's dead. Jesus stops and stop. Jairus, don't let fear get in. This thing gonna work out. Guess what? Keep believing. Look to your neighbor and say, keep believing. You don't let the news cause you to stop believing, because you're in faith. You're not in your feelings. You don't let the report stop you from believing. You're going to keep on believing. And you're going to believe. You're going to believe until death do me in faith depart. Jesus said, keep on doing what you've been doing, man. Keep on believing. Keep moving forward. And the Bible says, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, perhaps because they didn't believe. You got to get doubters and unbelievers at a little distance now. Amen. Jesus trying to keep this man in faith. So Jesus do what? Takes his inner circle. The boys who were there at the transfiguration, they've already got testimony. We've seen some supernatural things. The ones who was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus said, you all come go a little further. Jesus said, these boys have seen some stuff. Y'all come on, go with me. So he got his three disciples. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wailed loudly. Now, it was common in that day that when somebody died, they would hire these people who would be mourners. Came to the house and just mourn and mourn. So when Jesus get there, he see all the mourners. And listen to what they said. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but what? Sleeping. See, believers, all we do is go to sleep. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, that's another group, he said, you got to go outside. Yeah, step outside for a moment. I got some people here that's going to pray with me. Can y'all step outside for a moment? Because y'all just ridiculing. Because y'all don't have no faith. Y'all already put me in the grave. Y'all step outside for a moment. I'm not telling you you can't see me, but right now I got to have a meeting with my Peter and my James and my John. I got to have a meeting with the mom and the daddy. Why? They got some real faith up in here. So Jesus say what? Put the mourners outside the room. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with them, which was who? Peter, James, and John, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, Jesus said, little girl, I say to you, rise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great. The language of prayer is the language of faith in the word.
This concludes our time for this week's message from the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. To obtain a copy of today's message, please let us know the date and time of the broadcast and forward that information to Kingdom Builders Christian Center, P.O. Box 9206, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. please include $7 for each CD request to cover the cost of shipping. Each Sunday, join the KBCC family for morning worship services at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening worship services at 7 p.m. Children and youth ministries are available. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at kingdom-builders.com. Have a blessed week and join us next Sunday for The Word Alive.